Hello and welcome to Spoilers, this introduction to the play Jack Juggler. Following are some introductory notes and a plain text recording of the dialogue, plain text being the first cut edit of our full cast audio recording. It has all the text, but no SFX, no Foley, and it's the edit we use to hunt out textual errors, retakes or cuts. So it's not perfect, and we may change the take for the final thing. If you want to just enjoy our production, stop listening now and wait a week or two for the release. Or if you're listening in the future, look for the episodes future up the podcast list. Seriously, this is an exercise that some listeners won't enjoy. If it ain't for you, move on. If you're still listening, however, let's enter spoiler land.
Spoilers!
Yeah, that sound effect really needs work. Okay, Jack Juggler was written by someone and printed sometime in the early 1560s and performed by children somewhere, probably sometime before that. We're continuing our progress through the play with the introduction to the title character Jack Juggler, and that's lines 84 to 191 in every edition I have. Before this speech, there's the prologue, which we did last time, which you don't really need to worry about here, except that this is a play performed by boys. Jack will refer to himself as a boy, but we cast grown men, so that probably makes everything a whole lot more sinister, actually, now that I come to think about it, but them's the breaks. Jack Juggler, the title character, is noted in the text as the vice. There's too much to say about the nature of the vice figure here, so basically he's a trickster. He's trouble. He's a plot device. The vice turns up to ruin the status quo, and because they're the vice, they don't need a reason to do it. It's just what they do. However, because the playgoer doesn't see the note next to the name saying the vice, let's treat this character on his own terms, how he would be perceived. Because at first he appears very jovial, very honest. He prays the audience will have a good time.
Our Lord of Heaven and sweet Saint John, rest ye merry, my masters, everyone. And I pray to Christ and sweet Saint Stephen, send ye all many a good...
And he goes off on those lines for a while. He's effusive, fast, fun. And then he starts to talk about himself.
For heartily, for I have laboured all day till I am weary, and now am disposed to pass the time and be merry.
And he talks about, despite all this hard labour, about being merry, about how his mother taught him to be merry regardless of the circumstance at the time. Be merry at all times, people. But Jack, tell us, what sort of activities do you consider to be merry? I'm thinking not tiddlywinks.
And now, if all things happen right, you shall see as mad a pastime this night as you saw this 7 years and as proper...
He's going to do something, but who is he? This character hasn't introduced himself yet.
I am called Jack Juggler of many and one, and in faith I will play a juggling cast anon.
He's going to play a juggling cast. You can play with the nature of the word juggling in your own time. He's going to play a practical joke. And like the stand-up comedian he is, he asks the audience questions.
You all know well Master Bongrace.
Pause for response. What? No? You don't know him? No one? Oh, come on, he's...
The gentleman that dwelleth here in this place?
Come on, people, get with the convention. So, there's a Master Bongrace, okay? And there's another character who he will mention.
And Jenkin Careaway, his page, as cursed a lad and as ungracious as ever man had. An unhappy wag and as foolish a knave withal as any is now within London Wall.
Jenkin Careaway, right? And we're in London. Got it? So, Jack Juggler making exposition fun. Now, Jenkin Careaway is not Jack's favourite person.
This Jenkin and I been fallen at great debate for a matter that fell between us of late. And hitherto of him I could never revenged be, for his master maintaineth him and loveth not me.
And that's actually pretty much all the justification Jack Juggler gives for the jape he is going to perform. There will be very little more detail because, well, he's the vice and he doesn't really need more motivation. He's just gonna get him. So, he saw Caraway earlier.
It chanced me right now in the other end of the next street with Jenkin and his master in the face to meet. I abode there a while playing for to see at the Bucklers, as well became me. It was not long time, but at the last back cometh my cousin Caraway, homeward full fast.
So Caraway and his master Bongrace passed some people playing at sword fighting, or for that matter maybe at an actual fencing school, where Jack stays to watch the action. Caraway, after some while, comes back, but without his master, and Caraway is in a good mood.
Pricking, prancing and springing in his short coat, and pleasantly singing with a merry note.
And it can't just be Jack who thinks Caraway is a bit annoying, because he gets heckled by someone else who's watching the fencing. Now, for the final edit, we're probably going to run this next bit of action as mini flashbacks. So, reported speech that Jack Juggler gives here will be acted in some way. But for this episode, you get the text as delivered by Jack. So he's quoting other people's dialogue.
"Whither away so fast? Tarry a while," said one. "I cannot now," said Jenkin. "I must needs be gone. My master suppeth hereby at a gentleman's place, and I must thither fetch my dame, Mistress Bongrace. But yet, ere I go, I care not much at the Bucklers to play with thee one fair touch."
So we get from this that Caraway is easily distracted. He's not doing whatever his master told him to do. He's going to do some sword fighting in the street. And he's not going to stop this fighting till he wins. It's suggested that perhaps he isn't very good, because he says he won't go till he gets a touch on his opponent, and half an hour passes before finally he leaves playing. That may be a stretch, but the image in our minds is of a young lad who's A, easily distracted, and B, not brilliant at things. Because when he finally leaves to run his errand, which is to fetch his mistress, he gets distracted again.
"Within half an hour, or somewhat less, Jenkin left playing and went to fetch his mistress. But by the way, he met with a fruiterer's wife. There Jenkin and she fell at such strife for snatching of an apple that down he cast her basket and gathered up the apples fast and put them in his sleeve. Then came he his way by another lane, as fast as he may."
He does some urban scrumping. He steals someone's wares and runs away after upsetting the apple cart. Now, all this is told by Jack, but his account is proven to be pretty accurate later. Vice though he be, he's not telling a lie. He's also stalking his prey to some degree, which is perhaps quite sinister when you have time to think about it later, which the audience live wouldn't. Remember, the tone of a piece is in relation to the thinking time allowed. So most comic plots to plays are actually quite evil when you actually think about them. Watching them in real time, however, the action tends to mask this. Anyway, Caraway is observed getting distracted again.
"Till he came at a corner by a shop stall, where boys were at dice, faring at all. When Caraway with that good company met, he fell to faring without and let."
He's forgotten his errand and now he's gambling. And he's not very good at it. Jack Juggler now basically diagnoses Caraway with a gambling addiction.
"For I know his old guise and condition, never to leave till all his money be gone. For he hath no money but what he doth steal, and that will he play away every deal."
Now, here Jack says he left Caraway at this point, so he's not quite fully stalking him. And then he has his idea of a merry jest. Remember that? He brought that up earlier. He set up the malice towards Caraway. He paints a picture for us now of his victim. And now here's the plan. He demonstrates to the audience his costume. Jack Juggler is dressed just like Caraway.
These garments, cap and all other gear that now you see upon me here, I have done on all like unto his for the nonce, and my purpose is to make Jenkin believe, if I can, that he is not himself, but another man.
Yes, he's going to get Caraway by pretending that he, Jack, is Caraway. Jack is going to provoke an existential crisis. Now, that's evil.
For except he hath better luck than he had, he will come hither stark staring mad.
When he shall come, I will handle my captain so that he shall not well wot whither to go.
Diabolical fiend! And Jack knows this will make matters worse for Caraway with his mistress and master, especially as he has just spent an hour faffing about when he should have just gone straight home. And then Jack stops talking as in comes Caraway, and Jack steps aside, hides, possibly even exits. But the idea is he's lying in wait. And that's it for now. Next episode, we'll listen to what Caraway has to say about other people himself. And the next episode will cover the first big speech by our victim, Jenkin Caraway, which is lines 192 to 330, if you're following it in a script. But till then, I've been your host, Robert Crichton, and here's the plain text of Jack, performed by Hayden McCabe. Enjoy.
Our Lord of Heaven and sweet Saint John, rest ye merry, my masters, everyone. And I pray to Christ and sweet Saint Stephen, send ye all many a good even. And you too, sir, and you also, good even to you, an hundred times and a thousand mo'. Now, by all these crosses of flesh, bone, and blood, I reckon my chance right marvellous good, here now to find all this company which in my mind I wished for heartily. For I have laboured all day till I am weary, and now am disposed to pass the time and be merry. And I think none of you, but he would do the same, for who will be sad and needeth not is foul to blame. And as for me, of my mother I have been taught to be merry when I may and take no thought, which lesson I bear so well away that I used to make merry once a day. And now, if all things happen right, you shall see as mad a pastime this night as you saw this 7 years and as proper a toy as ever you saw played of a boy. I am called Jack Juggler of many and one, and in faith I will play a juggling cast anon. I will conjure the mole and God before, or else let me lease my name for evermore. Yet I have it devised and compassed how, and what ways I will tell and show to you. You all know well Master Bongrace, the gentleman that dwelleth here in this place. And Jenkin Caraway, his page, as cursed a lad and as ungracious as ever man had. An unhappy wag and as foolish a knave withal as any is now within London Wall. This Jenkin and I been fallen at great debate for a matter that fell between us a late. And hitherto of him I could never revenged be. For his master maintaineth him, and loveth not me. Albeit the very truth to tell, neither of them both knoweth me very well. But against all other boys, the said gentleman maintaineth him all that he can. But I shall set little by my wit if I do not Jenkin this night requite. Ere I sleep, Jenkin shall be met, and I trust to come partly out of his debt. And when we meet again, if this do not suffice, I shall pay Jenkin the residue in my best wise.
It chanced me right now in the other end of the next street with Jenkin and his master in the face to meet. I abode there a while playing for to see at the Bucklers, as well became me. It was not long time, but at the last back cometh my cousin Caraway, homeward full fast, pricking, prancing, and springing in his short coat, and pleasantly singing with a merry note. "Whither away so fast?" "Tarry a while," said one. "I cannot now," said Jenkin. "I must needs be gone. My master suppeth hereby at a gentleman's place, and I must thither fetch my dame, Mistress Bongrace. But yet, ere I go, I care not much at the Bucklers to play with thee one fair touch." To it they went and played so long till Jenkin thought he had wrong. "By cock's precious podstick, I will not home this night," quoth he, "but as good a stripe on thy head light." Within half an hour, or somewhat less, Jenkin left playing and went to fetch his mistress. But by the way, he met with a fruiterer's wife. There Jenkin and she fell at such strife for snatching of an apple that down he cast her basket and gathered up the apples fast and put them in his sleeve. Then came he his way by another lane as fast as he may, till he came at a corner by a shop stall where boys were at dice, faring at all. When Caraway with that good company met, he fell to faring without and let, forgetting his message, and so did he fare, that when I came by, he gan swear and stare, and full bitterly began to curse, as one that had lost almost all in his purse. For I know his old guise and condition, never to leave till all his money be gone. For he hath no money but what he doth steal, and that will he play away every deal. I passed by, and then called unto my mind certain old reckonings that were behind between Jenkin and me, and partly to recompense, I trust by God's grace, ere I go hence. These garments, cap, and all other gear that now you see upon me here, I have done on all like unto his for the nonce, and my purpose is to make Jenkin believe, if I can, that he is not himself, but another man. For except he hath better luck than he had, he will come hither stark staring mad. When he shall come, I will handle my captain so
that he shall not well wot whither to go. His mistress, I know she will him blame, and his master also will do the same, because that she of her supper deceiving is, for I am sure they have all supped by this. But, and if Jenkin would hither resort, I trust he and I should make some sport. Oh, if I had sooner spoken, he would have sooner been here, for me seem, if I do, his voice here.
If I had sooner spoken, he would have sooner been here, for me seem, if I do, his voice here.